being here, and appreciate the visitors that we have here. We hope that you come back to worship with us in the opportunity that you have. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me to be up here and to speak with you this morning. And I'd like to thank Mike for asking me to take his place while he was out. I appreciate the opportunity to get up here, any opportunity to get up here in front of everyone. And for one thing, it helps me to grow as a Christian, and it helps me to do things I normally wouldn't do. I agree to do them, and I'm thinking, why would I agree to do that for? But in the long run, the preparation of doing it and everything, it helps you to grow as a Christian, and it's good to venture out and do things you normally wouldn't do. Said I appreciate everyone's encouragement that's encouraged me this morning, and I appreciate Brother Phillips' prayer praying for me. I'm a maintenance guy at work, but we work for a factory, and we're kind of small. We're getting smaller all the time. So what that means for me is I got to do a little bit of everything around there, especially things that maybe not even pertain to maintenance, really. So a few years back, I agreed to start moving these trailer trucks for them. You know, we have yard dogs, and we move trailer trucks and move the trailers for them if they need them and everything. And my dad, he was a truck driver, you know, and I was thinking, he's done this for 30 years. I got it in my blood, you know. I'll try it, and I volunteered to do it. And doing it over there, you know, moving a few trailers here and there, it's not very many. But a month or two ago, of course, I worked for the same company right over here, the Newell Brands, and they asked me to come over there on the weekends and stuff for extra money for overtime. And they thought they need a yard dog, you know, a driver. So I said, oh, well, here you go. So I did, and the first day or two, you know, moved a few trailers. You know, it wasn't too bad, but then they got this thing they call the yard dog. Not the yard dog, but the graveyard. And that's about 60 trailers or more, probably more, down there just sitting there. You know, they all have numbers, so they give you a number, you pull a trailer out. Well, I remember going down there and looking at all them trailers, and they're about probably a foot apart. It seemed like less than that, some of them. But you got to get that trailer out without tearing nothing up. Here I am, you know, they give me a little list, you know, and the first few, I was doing good. I was up in there, and, you know, in the rest of the parking lot, so then I had to go down to the yard dog, not the graveyard. So I pulled one trailer out, that wasn't up, so I had to bring the trailer back that I was placing it with. Oh, boy. You had to get that trailer back in there and try to back it in. I don't think I was Tommy Craig's son then, because, you know, my daddy had done it easy. I'm sitting there struggling. Evidently, the guy that worked there, well, I was struggling, and I said a short prayer. I said, Lord, please help me, you know. I ain't going to go do this, you know, without, I don't want to tear nothing up, you know. I'm going to lose my job or tearing something up, you know. But then I was fighting the truck, you know, and I looked up, and there's this little big fella, Mr. James. He's about 120 pounds, I guess, soaking wet. He said, you need some help, man. I knew he could tell I needed help, you know. So he guided me, you know, and parked me, got me in the right direction, and he left, and so I backed it on in. And I guess about, he come on back time I got all in, and he said, you got any more? And I said, yes, sir. I have one more, and he got it for me. So I tell all this just because I know there's power in prayer. You know, we know this, but I say a short little prayer to God, and I know it was him. He helped me out of that situation because I was stressing. And the prayer, it's a powerful thing that we as Christians can use to help us. And it's just something we need to do more. I know I do. When I preach, I'm usually preaching on something that I need to do more. I know it's me. I know there may be others that's fine like that. There's things usually I'm trying to work on myself, and I know I need to have a stronger prayer life than what I do, because I get so busy, and, you know, sometimes I fall asleep at night, and I fall asleep praying, or I don't pray as much as I need to during the day. So I don't want to just depend on God when I'm in trouble. You know, we need to praise Him and give Him the praise and pray all the time, you know, for good and bad. So I said, prayer is, I said, what is prayer? I said, it's a conversation with God. It's talking to God, reaching out to God. And as Christians, we can have conversations with God, and we can use a prayer. We can use prayer as praise to God in prayer, and then we can ask God for physical and mental health, you know, each day. And we can ask God for wisdom and guidance through prayer. And there's just so many wonderful things that come out of prayer in our prayer life. So a lot of times, like I said before, many only pray when something's going wrong or something's wrong in their lives. And people don't think to pray when things are going well, like I've already said. But I see it a lot. I see that a lot on social media. Imagine y'all do too. You see people asking for prayers, and you see folks they're writing short prayers, you know, talking to Heavenly Father. I think they should just pray to God if that's the way they feel. I mean, why do you have to put it out there to everyone to see? It's almost like a show. Instead, just go pray to God, you know, and that's I see that a lot. And some of these ones you're asking, you're seeing that are making those short prayers, there's some of the ones that are on there showing things that not necessarily good and wouldn't please God. And you just see them sharing all kinds of things that's not very, very godly. I say all this because sin, it separates us from God. It separates us from our Heavenly Father, that if we're in sin, he might not hear, he's not going to hear our prayers. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." And also in Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." And also in Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So many people don't realize that sin separates us from God. We must remain righteous for our prayers to be heard. And we must remain righteous for God to be attentive to our prayers. In 1 Peter 3:12 it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." In 1 John 3:21 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." Also in John 9:3 it says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners." So as Christians, we need to pray in a way that will please God. And I'd like to read the model prayer. It's in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A few points I'd like to bring out that Jesus is talking about in this model prayer, in these verses, was that He reminds us to pray in private. You know, don't do for a show. Go talk to God, be by yourself. You know, I know there's times you can pray, you know, together when we eat and before we eat and stuff, but like your everyday prayer, go be in private. It's, if you're doing it for a show, you know, just the people think you're religious or whatever. He says that is your reward. You know, that's what you're gaining right there, is your reward, just by being praying for attention from others. And also, Jesus reminds us that God knows what we need even before we ask. So let's remember that. And when we pray, and He reminds us not to babble on. Oh no. Get to the point when you're talking to God, and pray for the things that would please God. Like I said, God knows what we need. We just need to show Him we have the faith in Him, and that we believe that He'll answer our prayers. And when we pray, we need to give thanks to God. And we should. Another thing, as I've mentioned before, we need to pray often. No, pray in the morning when we get up. Pray at night before we go to bed. Pray in between, just even if it's just a little short prayers. You know, we should praise Him just because we're God's children and His children, and thank Him for sending His Son to us as our Savior. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." So, to look up. Also in Philippians 4:4-7. Says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, in every situation, God, He will guard our hearts and our minds through prayer. Also, you remember that we should always pray in good or bad times, like I've said over and over. And I say this, this, our conversation with God, our prayer life, it helps in every point of our lives, so good or bad. So we got to remember to always think of Him and pray about every situation. And just give it to God. Also in James 5:13-18. Book of James is one of my favorite books, and I'm glad Brother Danny's going over this on Wednesday nights. It's an encouragement to me as I read this book. It's so many good things out of this book. But in chapter 5, verses 13-18 says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. In the name of the Lord. Excuse me. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and he has sinned. He will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So there's power in prayer. We just need to pray for every situation. Like I said, when I get up here, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm saying I know I need to pray more. I need to pray about everything. Also, when we pray, we need to remember that Jesus is our mediator to talk to the Father. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." The ransom for all people was his sacrifice of the innocent lamb, Jesus Christ. And the only way we as Christians have forgiveness of sins is through Jesus Christ. So he is our mediator. Another verse to show us that Jesus is the mediator is Hebrews 12:24. Refers to Jesus. Jesus refers to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So, also in John 14:6, it says, "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then in John 16:23, it says, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whether you ask." I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is why we must pray through Jesus. He is the mediator, and through him we have forgiveness of sins. And that's how we're able to talk to the Father. Something else when we're praying we should think about. When we pray, we should ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness of our wrongdoing and our sins. You know, even as Christians, we fall short. Paul tells us this in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Remember in the model prayer in verse 6:12, it says, "Forgive our debts as we also forgive our debtors." We have to forgive others. That's a hard one there. Sometimes people do us wrong. We got to work on that. We got to forgive those that do us wrong. It says in Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you have against one another." If we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. It's hard, but we have to learn this, and we have to pray about it and ask for help in forgiving others. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So it's evident that we have to forgive others, and we have to pray for our enemies and work toward that, because it is a hard thing to do. Okay, and Matthew 5:43-48 says, "You have heard that it was said, love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes this sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. And if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, again, we have to forgive others and pray for them, even if they do us wrong. This is probably one of the harder things in life for me. But if we don't, you see what the verses say, that if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. So, I hope I've helped you to remember this morning that we need a strong prayer life, and we need to be close to God, and we need to conversate with God often and daily, and we need to give our troubles to Him, and we need to remember to give Him the praise when all is good. And in James 4:8, the writer says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. So that's one way we draw near to God. We draw near through prayer, and we draw near to Him through our studying of His Word. And it'll make you stronger as you pray more and as you study more. So a strong prayer life will help us to draw near to God, as I just said, and it helps us to show God that we're dependent on Him. And if we aren't dependent on God, we should be, because He helps us through so much. It will help us through the trials that we face in the world. And in James 1:2, I'd like to read James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We all know what it says, but it's good to hear it over and over. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, I'm sorry. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. That's key, not to doubt when we ask. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So, as Christians, we will face trials and tribulations, and this is how we face them. We give with God and we pray. And He may not give us everything we want, you know, we pray for. You know, sometimes He's going to tell us no. Well, we got to remember He's in charge, and He's going to give us what we need. So, but if you're not a Christian today, the steps of becoming one. So if you become a Christian, you can have a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You can tell us first, we must hear in Romans 10:17, we hear God's Word. So faith comes by hearing, by the Word of God. It says, what are we hearing? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 4, 1 through 4. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, which is the good news I preach to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and then He was raised up on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the second thing, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God. Jesus says we must believe in John 8:24. It says, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Thirdly, you must repent of your sins to be saved. In Acts 17:30-31, it says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now His commands all people everywhere to repent, for He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. He's referring to His Son, Jesus Christ. And fourth, we must confess that Jesus is the Christ. He's the sins of the Son of the living God. In Matthew 10:32-33, says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And our fifth step is we must be baptized to become a Christian. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. But Peter tells us also in Acts 2:38, says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to point out, notice that it says to confess and be baptized. It says to and be baptized. It doesn't say be baptized later. A lot of people teach that you're saved when you speak in Jesus, you know, admit that He's God's Son. But there's another step. They say, and be baptized. There's so many examples that we have to be baptized, and so many people try to teach you that you don't. But God's Word teaches that we have to be baptized to become a Christian. So, this morning, if you're not a Christian and you'd like to become one, it's an easy process. You can come forward and confess that Christ is the Son of the living God and become a Christian, be baptized this morning. And it's the invitation's yours, and come while we stand and sing.